In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Mary was standing outside the tomb, crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni!" "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave him his message. What a wonderful passage. And what a complete reversal of emotions for Mary. Her tears of sorrow turned to tears of joy upon hearing her name spoken by her Savior. How amazing that Jesus chose to come to her, to be the one, to let her be the one who he would reveal himself to first. When Jesus says, "Don't cling to me, I haven't yet ascended to the Father," his resurrection is quite new. And Jesus takes the time to pause and comfort Mary before he completes the work of going to the mercy seat in heaven and sprinkling his blood upon it. Who is Mary Magdalene to have received such an amazing encounter? What was so special about her that Jesus gave her this sacred moment? Well, the scripture says very little about Mary's past. Who she was, where she was from, what sin had she committed. Her past seems irrelevant. Luke 8 is the first time that she is mentioned. The passage tells us that Jesus is beginning his tour, going to the many different towns, and with him the 12 disciples. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them was Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. And the scripture goes on to list some of the other women who were traveling. That's the first mention of Mary Magdalene. The actual story of the encounter she has with Jesus, in which those demons were cast out, is not recorded in scripture. Mary is truly a picture of the redeemed. Her sinful past is remembered no more. God says in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And Mary is an example of this. We are not to know of her past. She is not to be known by those stories of old, but only her new life in Christ. That's what matters now. And she is a devoted and faithful disciple, often found in the crowd with Jesus. And this day, at the start of the morning, when she is finally able to go to the tomb, she is there early, as the sun comes up, before anyone else. Clearly, she has not understood that Jesus was to raise from the dead. She isn't there to greet Christ, but to mourn him. But in her defense, none of the disciples understood the resurrection either. And Jesus told them quite plainly. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later, he will rise from the dead." The scripture goes on to say that the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. However, they were afraid to ask him what he meant. And then a little later in Mark chapter 10, Jesus says again, "Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. And they will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again." Perhaps their minds froze when they heard words like betrayed and sentenced to death. Perhaps they didn't really hear clearly the rest of what Jesus said. For if they understood, they would have been excited as they waited those 3 days. They would have been eager and being at the tomb at the crack of dawn to greet Jesus as he came out. We can only speculate why no one really expected Jesus to rise in 3 days. But what we do know is that the grief of the disciples was real. The grief of Mary was real. And all of this was reversed. And it made it so much more extreme that their tears of sorrow were turned to tears of joy. But what of our tears? We still experience grief and sorrow and fear. Some Christians experience depression and anxiety. If the resurrection of Jesus is the answer, why do we still experience those negative emotions? Where is our joy? Well, Jesus said in John 15:11, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." But what are the things he told us? Well, Jesus said to abide in him, to obey him, to receive his love. Our joy comes when we do these things, when we embrace Christ's love for us, when we follow in his ways, and when we remain in him. Our joy is made complete. And the scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mary's heart was shattered. She was grief-stricken. Jesus speaks over the chaos in her heart. He calls her by name, Mary. And instantly she is filled with joy. Over the chaos of your lives, over the noise and distraction of the world, Jesus speaks your name. Do you hear him? Jesus reminds us of the empty grave where death is defeated, the curse is broken. We are rescued and redeemed by his love. We have a deliverer. We have a way maker. We have the power in Christ to overcome whatever we face. We have the joy of the Lord in us. And we are blessed to have the entire counsel of God's word. God's word gives us comfort and assurance. It gives us reasons to be joyful. God's word says, "Fear not, for I am with you always." God's word says, if we trust in him, he will keep us in perfect peace. God's word says that if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. May our Father's word live inside your heart. Give him permission to inscribe his will upon your hearts and minds. And may you hear your Father's still, quiet voice speak your name. And now, may the God of peace, who brought back again the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all that is pleasing to him. To him be glory forever and ever.